This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the World Wide Wave.
It's World Wide Wave time. Good evening and welcome to Melbourne, Australia, with the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. And a big thank you and lots of hugs to the gang at Generation Next. Now, tonight, there's a bit of a stir going on around the world. The CEO of Barilla Pasta is well and truly in hot water. Yes, he's got everybody's spaghetti in a twist. Is this a PR nightmare for a multinational, or is this in fact symptomatic of bigger issues in Italian society? Tonight we're going to explore the great pasta debacle, the pasta disaster perhaps, with an Italian guy, Marco, from the LGBT Graduate Institute. He's joining us on the line and we'll be able to explore these issues tonight.
Joy 94.9.
Has the CEO of Barilla Pasta got himself into hot water? I think so. We're going to dissect that issue tonight with our friend Marco in Italy. Now, we are in Italy and time for some fun, fast facts.
See, Italy is not a place that I can quite get a hold of because, you know, on the one hand, it seems like a very live and let live attitude. And on the other hand, people might say that it's a society that keeps LGBT rights deeply repressed because, you know, on the one hand, apparently 82% of Italian states consider homosexuals equal to all others. And same-sex activity was legalized in 1887.
Wow.
1887, a good 100 years before Tasmania did. So you'd think they'd have a lead on a lot of issues. And yet, it seems like being an LGBT person is still, you know, really tough in Italy. Apparently, a new survey that came out found that Italy, of all places, is the very worst place to be an LGBT young person, with a huge proportion of young people experiencing homophobic bullying in schools.
Can that really be that surprising, though, considering that's sort of where the Vatican is?
Well, I'm actually surprised the other way, that same-sex relationships were legalised so early on with the presence of the church there. I mean, the church was as much as we think the Roman Catholic Church is conservative today, you know, 100 and whatever years ago, much more conservative than it is now.
So I wonder if it is a bit of this either live and let live or repressed attitude. And we'll hear from Marco from LGBT at iHide later, who talk a bit more about this attitude, that that same-sex activity is legal in Italy and has been for over 100 years, and yet same-sex couples are still not eligible for a whole host of legal protections available to opposite-sex couples. And bills have been brought to Parliament time and time again in the past 20 years and have always been rejected to, for example, legalise civil unions or to give same-sex couples the same rights as all other people.
In fact, some of those laws in 2007, the government introduced a bill which would have granted rights in the areas of labour law, inheritance, taxation and healthcare to same-sex partners, but the bill was never made a priority in the legislature, so it didn't actually get up.
No, and when we go over to trans rights, it looks like that Italy is not particularly progressive in this matter either. So cross-dressing is not illegal in Italy and sex change operations are legal with medical approval. However, gender identity is not part of the official anti-discrimination law, so it doesn't have that official protection. You know, on the one hand, in 1982, Italy became the third nation in the world to recognise the right to change one's own legal gender. But at the same time, a police officer in 2006 was reportedly fired for cross-dressing in public. So it's this real mix of opinions. I can't make up my mind on where Italy stands.
And the public themselves, there's a bit of discourse, recognition for same-sex couples. They've got a survey pretty much every 2 years and it's hanging around the 60% mark. The most recent survey, 2012, 59.8% supported recognition for same-sex couples. But same-sex marriage, not quite as high, 40%. And even lower, interestingly, only 25% supported civil unions in place of same-sex marriage.
I wonder why that is. That's very unusual.
Maybe they don't get the whole civil union thing in a culture that's dominated by marriage.
Yeah, maybe the strength of the Vatican speaks out there what marriage means in the country.
Now, we are not Italian. It might surprise you to know. So we went to the source. We called Italy to find out what the implications of this pasta disaster are.
Or I should say we called a very learned Italian who is currently living in Geneva and is the representative of LGBT at the LGBT issues at the Graduate Institute.
And that is Marco, and we're going to be speaking to him to dissect the issues. Marco, there's... been a lot of flurry in the media about pasta and LGBT rights. Pasta is very important to Italy. How much of a stir does this sort of story make?
Well, it is a very complicated issue, but I think that what caused a lot of anger in many people in Italy is... goes a bit beyond the words that were said by Mr. Barilla. And in my humble opinion, he can do the sort of advertising that he wants. This is completely fine. But I'm talking as an Italian person, but it's also my personal opinion, okay? And I think that I was hurt more than anything by the fact that he said twice that LGBT people can exist. And translating from basically said they can do what they want as long as they don't bother others. And I think that behind this, as long as they don't bother others, there is a lot. And of course, you cannot call that the kind of violence against verbal violence, which is portrayed by a party such as the Northern League, which can be very aggressive. But still, it is a kind of implicit and indirect message that means that basically people, LGBT people, can be in Italy as long as they don't ask for respect, as long as they don't want to be treated as equals. Because, you know, I mean, the debate in Italy is much different than in many other countries, European, but also Australia or Canada or the United States. Because, for example, we cannot even pass in the parliament at the moment a decent law against homophobia. Mm. The law that we have at the moment against homophobia, which has been examined now, so it has not been approved yet, would still allow associations to criticize LGBT people. So basically, it's almost an homophobic, anti-homophobia law. It has not been approved yet. We still hope that it's going to be changed, but this is where we stand now. And
so do you think...
I said a lot of things, but maybe it was not as structured as it would have been if I had to plan it. But I hope that I explained a little bit why it caused so much anger. Even if it was not completely homophobic message, because Mr. Barilla said that he was fine with LGBT marriage, but still, there were other things being said that made us think other things.
Is what the president of Barilla has been saying, is that reflecting something that is in the greater Italian society, this attitude of, you know, you can do what you like as long as it's not being done visibly?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It is changing now. In a way, there is much more talk about difference in Italy than there used to be. But still, I mean, there are still a lot of issues. And yes, I think that you captured exactly what many people think in Italy. Do what you like, but be quiet. And
you once mentioned
don't get noticed. Also, don't get noticed because. Homophobia is still a huge issue in Italy because people do have problems in the workplace, they do have problems in schools. I mean, there have been a number of cases of suicide in school and people who have been mobbed at work, so it's something real.
Hola, mi nombre es Félix de Colombia. You are on World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Hello, this is the World Wide Wave and you're with Matt, Heath and Chris. And tonight we are in Italy and we are talking pasta. So if you just heard this interview that we did with Marco from the LGBT group at the Graduate Institute, Barilla, one of the world's biggest pasta manufacturers, are in a bit of hot water. So the Barilla president came out last week saying in a radio interview, just on local Italian radio, that I would never do a commercial with a homosexual family, not for lack of respect, but because we don't agree with them. Ours is a classic family where the woman plays a fundamental role. And then Mr. Barilla also came out and said that he was unconcerned with whether gay consumers would stop buying pasta from the privately held company.
Now that kind of changed. Clearly the concern has changed and perhaps somebody has stepped in. If you haven't, if you're not on Facebook, you may not be aware of the huge international backlash against this company. So people are advocating a boycott of Barilla.
A huge boycott, not just in Italy, but a worldwide boycott, which I think could be making a very severe dent in their purses. So after this boycott was called, Mr. Barilla came back on air and said that it's not that he was against gay marriage or gay people, it's just that he doesn't support the idea of things like adoption for gay people because it would be complicated for same-sex couples, and also that traditional families had always identified with the Barilla brand, and this is what he was trying to, you know, bring forward.
Oh, he was taken out of context. Was he?
He was taken out of context.
Right. But he was fairly definite, though. He was asked again, like in the initial statement when this first came out, he was asked to basically clarify, and he still came out and said exactly what you said. Ours is a conservative culture. And we heard a bit of that from Marco as well, that the pace of cultural change is not as fast as perhaps in other areas of Europe.
Yeah, and into this void of discrimination that he left, a whole host of other very big mainstream pasta companies have come on board with some really wonderful ads, completely, wholeheartedly supporting the LGBT community. So one of the reactions I loved in particular was from a brand called Garofalo. You can't really get them in Australia, but it's a delicious pasta. Small plug. And their ad had a black background with two penne pastas, the tube-shaped ones next to each other, then two of the bow-shaped pastas next to each other, then one bow-shaped and one penne, and the tagline below read, "It doesn't matter who you cook with, as long as you do it al dente."
Lovely.
Which now, I love. So in response to this Barilla campaign, one of the really nice things that we've seen is the LGBT community, the Italian community, really coming together and starting to get a voice on LGBT issues for what feels like the first time in years. And one really nice quote that I found from a member of an equality group in Italy, this person said that in the end, this Barilla campaign, it's not really about the potentially minor impact of boycotting. It's about the possibility of protesting itself. And it's about how an invisible minority of LGBT people is finally finding a way to speak for itself to a national and international audience, which I think is quite nice.
And it really has become an international audience. So he made these comments within the context of being in Italy and probably thinking he was just speaking to the local audience, but no. This has gone worldwide.
It has. We've got celebrities coming out showing pictures of their Barilla pasta in the bins and others tweeting themselves in supermarkets saying, "I will take you up on your offer to select other brands," and, you know, pulling different pastas off shelves. It's really become a PR nightmare for Barilla.
Now, tell us, for you at home and in the cars, is this pink power? Do you support this? Is this enough for you to boycott Barilla pasta? Is this enough to change the brand, buy something else and send a message to this company?
So it looks like that the Barilla controversy is not the only issue for LGBT people in Italy at the moment. Some rather wonderful photos were produced by an artist called Gonzalo Orquin, and they were due to be displayed in an exhibition in Rome, opening just 4 days ago. But this organiser was threatened with a letter from no less than the Vatican itself, who threatened legal action and said that the photographs, which are of same-sex attracted couples kissing in front of altars in famous Roman churches, they're beautiful photos as well.
You may now kiss the groom.
Exactly. The Vatican came out and said that the photographs could harm the religious sentiment of the faithful.
How outrageous.
Outrageous. And that the Italian constitutional law safeguards an individual's religious feelings and the function of places of worship. So it would be discriminatory for them to be able to exhibit these photos.
Vatican and Sons lawyers does it again. This is giving us some really interesting insights into the Italian community and their views of LGBT issues. And we're going to have a few messages and another Italian song and come back and speak to Marco, who looks at LGBT issues. And he is a homegrown Italian. You're on Joy 94.9, Worldwide Wave.
Great shows. Great topics. Great radio. Joy 94.9.
Someone has written on the internet about Barilla, 206 types of pasta and yet never heard of diversity. And another one that came out, which I really liked, was the love of pasta is equal.
Oh, yes, we like it. Oh, yes, I've seen one doing the rounds on Facebook, actually, where they've taken the equal love symbol, but they've done it as two pasta spirals instead of the actual the lines of the
I've
equal thing.
I've seen that
Isn't
one.
Great?
Yeah.
Love it. Now, we are talking all things Italy tonight and how this... this pasta story fits in with LGBT issues, and it's time to hear more from our guest that we spoke to this afternoon, Marco from the Graduate Institute.
If you are experiencing bullying or homophobia in the workplace or at school, are there organisations you can go to, or do people feel safe to approach the police about issues of discrimination, or is it that there's little protection for LGBT people because the issues are not very visible? Okay.
You can definitely go to association, and perhaps it's gonna reach the press. But at the time being, of course, you can go if something happens to you, if somebody hits you, you can of course go to the police. But the thing is that it's not like racism. It's not like racism. Whereas, how can I say? It makes a breaching the law worse. If you eat a black person in Italy because of the way he looks, being racist is going to worsen. How can I say? It's going to make your crime worse. Whereas at the moment, if you eat a person because he belongs to the LGBT community, of course, the person the case is going to be open and the person is going to be investigated. But it's not included racism, antisemitism, and such as a reason to make your crime worse in the eyes of the court or in the eyes of the law. Does it make sense?
Yeah. Marco, the Catholic Church is a very dominant force in Italy, and the Pope has seemingly come out with some, I wouldn't say pro-gay, but some. He seems to have softened the stance of the Catholic Church a fraction on homosexuality. Mm-hmm. How much impact do you think those sorts of words might have on LGBT rights in Italy?
This is a very, very, very complicated question. Because I think that Pope Francis made statements which are friendly in a way, but the doctrine of the church is still the same, and it's going to take a long time for it to change it, because don't forget that it's a 2,000 years old institution. So, you know, I think that he's a great communicator, but, for example, the Pope is the head of the Vatican, but then you have Conferenza Episcopale Italiana and other bodies which are at the national level, and they also have their own, press. And I think that the message is quite different at the national level. But of course, everybody welcomes Pope Francis' words. But I don't think that it's just because the Pope seems to have a more tolerant stance towards diversity. That necessarily translates very quickly in a change of mentality, you know. I think that these processes take a longer time.
Do you think that the response of... So I saw that a lot of pasta companies like Garofalo or, or Bertolli have come out with very pro-LGBT ads. Do you think that was something... Do you think this was something that was expected? Because when I saw this, I was actually quite surprised. I would have thought that companies would have kept quiet rather than, you know, stood up and said, actually, we support LGBT people.
Actually, I was surprised too. Because I can see the marketing behind it. I'm not that naive. But still, I would not have taken it for granted like 5 years ago or more. So, yeah, I agree with you. When I saw it, I was quite pleased, and I was also a bit surprised, if I'm completely honest, because... yeah, it was not something to take for granted in Italy, absolutely. I agree with you.
So do you think the fact that this has become a worldwide issue in the media, do you think that is helping LGBT rights in Italy?
I think that I tend to be quite a pessimistic person. So I think that it's going to take a long time because the debate in Italy is at a very different stage compared to other countries. This said, I think it's gonna. I already see it in the press. I think that some people are reflecting upon this reaction, because I think many people in Italy would not have expected such a reaction. And in a way, I agree with you. I think that. Many people, even if they have a certain view of difference, will become more careful, especially if that's something to sell. But then, you know, I mean, Barilla is a worldwide company, so in a way they're obliged to care, whereas politicians are how can I say, they draw more on their people. So whereas I could see Italian companies who sell abroad will be even more careful now, and that does not translate necessarily into politicians' attitude, because politics does not care that much about what happens abroad.
The perfect mix of music, news and interviews. Joy 94.9.
Hello, you're listening to the World Wide Wave, and tonight we are in Italy, and you just heard from Marco, who works for the LGBT group at the Graduate Institute in Geneva, but is Italian born and bred, talking to us at the moment about the Barilla pasta controversy and LGBT rights in Italy.
And we'd still like to hear more messages. Are you boycotting Barilla Pasta because of what they've done? Do you have a pasta pun that you'd like to share with us? You can win two tickets to see I'm So Excited, thanks to Transmission Films, coming to cinemas September 19, courtesy of Melbourne International Film Festival.
So send us an SMS on 0427 Joy 949.
Now, the other thing that has come out actually just before this whole pasta thing, I think Italy's almost trying to get into the media, was there was a mass kiss-in in the Italian Parliament.
There was. It was a kiss-in organised by Italy's anti-establishment Five Star Movement, that's the name of the group, and they staged a kiss-in during a vote for a very controversial piece of legislation. So this was meant to be a law which would penalise homophobia and transphobia, which sounds very positive on its face, but in fact this law still protected the opinions expressed within political, cultural or religious organisations. So essentially all groups could still make homophobic comments. So,
in fact, the gay community has come out and said that it's pretty insulting, this law.
Yeah, the word that's used in Italy, the phrase is acqua fresca, that this is a freshwater law. You know, it's not a real law that protects LGBT people. It's just something to appease them.
Indeed, it doesn't hold water.
No, exactly. So the Five Star Movement, who held this kiss in, said that they used this method of protest, firstly, I suppose, because it would generate a lot of media attention, but also because...
And it did.
But also because a kiss and a hug should not be frightening and we are not afraid, which I completely agree with.
So we're going to post a photo of this same-sex kiss in the Italian Parliament on our Facebook page. If you go to joy.org.au/worldwidewave, you can reach us on Facebook and all the other various mechanisms. Can you see this happening in Australia? Can you see Christine Milne and Senator Hanson-Young perhaps, you know?
Engaging
putting on a show?
We can only dream, Matt. We can only dream.
Yeah, it's not sure if it's a dream or a nightmare. But now, the other thing coming out of that discussion there with Marco was the Pope. So the Pope's been making some, I don't want to say pro-gay comments, but...
Less homophobic?
Less homophobic,
it?
Yeah. It's a shade of grey coming from the man in white.
Saying that all the gays aren't as bad as we previously thought, and who am I to judge?
That's right, and that sort of sets continues to set the tone of this new pope, that he's sort of doing things a bit different to the previous two popes.
But mind you, like, he goes and says that, and then he goes and counters that by excommunicating a pro-gay priest or... whatever he was, a cardinal or whatever he was.
Yeah, and he is not forgetting his quite unfortunate past back home in South America, where he came out and made all kinds of comments about the structure of traditional families, etc., etc. Exactly what you'd expect from a to-be pope.
Getting our hopes up, perhaps. It's the World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time, and tonight we're in Italy.
Uplifting, informing, empowering. Joy 94.9.
It's time for Worldwide Wrap, where we look at a roundup of things that are happening in the LGBT world.
So first up, a bit of depressing news from Serbia. The Belgrade Pride Parade, which was planned for just 2 days ago, was cancelled. The reason that was given by the PM Ivica Dačić, he told the news that that this did not mean a capitulation to hooligans, but that the Pride parade was cancelled because no one could guarantee a safe holding of the parade and that there were serious threats to peace and order, which, you know, sounds like an okay reason on its face, but actually, just seems to be an unfortunate spreading, I think, of the sentiment that's coming out of Russia at the moment. And one of the organisers of the parade has said that that this decision would have severe consequences because it violates the fundamental right to the freedom of assembly.
And Russia has been dominating the news, and in fact a rights group in London-based rights group called the Kaleidoscope Trust has come out and said, hey, don't forget other countries. A Commonwealth country, Sri Lanka, which has a very poor LGBT rights record, is hosting the next CHOGM meeting, and the Kaleidoscope Trust has come out and said, well, really, they should fix up their act with regards to LGBT rights. They are one of 42 Commonwealth countries that still have laws that criminalise homosexuality.
And something a little more lighthearted, we're going over to Daniel Radcliffe.
I'll go over to Daniel Radcliffe.
Yes, who apparently, in his role as Allen Ginsberg in the soon-to-be-released Kill Your Darlings, Daniel Radcliffe was banned by the director from manscaping.
What's manscaping?
That's cleaning up all the hairy bits.
A bit of a tidy up.
It's not a term I've come across before. This
was in order to preserve the natural aesthetic of the 1940s. Director John Crociardis was in Toronto to premiere the film at the Toronto International Film Festival last week when he sat down with the Daily Extra to discuss the hairy details. Radcliffe also spoke about the gay sex scene and all the attention it's been getting with MTV at the Sundance Film Festival. It's interesting that it's deemed shocking, Radcliffe said. For me, there is something very strange about that because we see straight sex scenes all the time. We've seen gay sex scenes before. I don't know why a gay sex scene should be any more shocking than a straight sex scene or both of them are equally unshocking.
Good on you, Daniel. That's the kind of thing that we need.
And one more it's Mr. Gay Hong Kong, and this is a great lead-in because next week we will be doing Hong Kong with a studio guest. A super typhoon has failed to stop the Mr. Gay Hong Kong title. There was nothing going to stop that from going ahead. Thank you to Marco for speaking to us today about the Great Pass of Disaster. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the World Wide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.